भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are, of course, in a place of Lord Shiva. Well, all places could be said to be place of Lord Shiva. He is well known as Vishwanath. Vishwanath also means Krishna, but he's usually when we say Vishwanath, we refer to Shiva and Jagannath, to Vishnu. So all places are his places, but especially there are some holy places connected with him. Mostly people in this world, they misunderstand Lord Shiva. Not only do they misunderstand Lord Shiva, they misunderstand Lord Vishnu, they misunderstand themselves, they misunderstand everything. Lord Shiva is very kind to the most fallen of the conditioned souls, inasmuch as he attempts to, maybe if not uplift them, but at least give them some shelter and regulate them to some extent. Therefore, he's also known as Bhutanath, Lord of the Ghosts. Although Bhuta can also mean any living being. The Vaishnavas, well, there are different sampradayas of Vaishnavas. The Gaurya Vaishnava, or the followers of those who place much emphasis on Srimad Bhagavatam, they see his role there. He is just described describing the preeminence of Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to Nimnaganam Yatha Ganga, among the flowing rivers. The Ganga Achutam, what is it? Achutam Devanam Yatha, I can't remember. Among the gods, the Lord Achuta. So, Vaishnavana, just like Shambhu, Shiva, is known as the greatest Vaishnava. So in this way, among all the categories, there are so many rivers, but the Ganga is considered the best. There are so many gods, but Achyuta, Krishna, is the best. There are so many Vaishnavas, Shiva is the best. Purana Anamidam Yata. This particular Purana is in the same position. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the role of Lord Shiva as a Vaishnava is presented. There are many prayers, chanting the song of Lord Shiva, many prayers of Lord Shiva, in which, as we find in many of the prayers of Bhagavatam, they are praising the Supreme Lord by making statements that we would call philosophical statements about him. They praise his qualities, especially his greatness, how he is Bhagavan. Srimad Bhagavatam describes how he is unique above all other living beings, including Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is considered the greatest Vaishnava. Sometimes that's considered controversial, but it is a statement of the Bhagavatam. Because in different places we'll find different Vaishnavas, they're considered the greatest. And different Vaishnavas, they may have great respect for a particular other Vaishnava and say he's the best, as we find in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which expands the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. We find that one devotee is considered by another devotee to be the best of devotees. And then when that devotee is questioned about this, he says, no, actually someone else is the greatest devotee. And then when he's questioned about, no, someone else is the greatest devotee. When we're measuring infinity, who is the greatest? All of them have infinite. Vaishnav means they have infinite love for Krishna. Still, mathematically, it's easily provable that some sets of infinity can be greater than smaller than other sets of infinity. But anyway, in our position of infinitesimality, if there's such a word, we are in a position of being very closed up. Our consciousness is just closed up. We're not open to the infinitude of Bhagavan. We're very close-minded, small-minded mentality. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita describes the development of consciousness. In the beginning stage, our consciousness is very closed up. We think in terms of I, me and mine. And even if someone is a great welfare worker of this world, feeding people and opening hospitals, but their whole consciousness is restricted to the understanding of reality being this mediocre planet in the whole material existence, which is it's all mediocre at best. It's forgetfulness of Krishna means that our consciousness is practically like being unconscious. Achaitanya midang vishvam. We're all as if when we're not conscious of actual reality. We are Satchidanand, but we are unconscious of our position of eternality, truthfulness, reality, clear consciousness, clear knowledge, and bliss. We're cut off from that. Just a little bit of consciousness comes through, and that's also perverted. So our consciousness is infinitesimal. And to be Krishna conscious means to be conscious of the infinite. Mostly people think that the infinite, well, can't have any form or qualities, but as Srila Prabhupada often pointed out with very simple logic, but the infinite includes everything. So we can't say that it's a logical fallacy to state that the infinite and supreme is lacking in anything which the infinitesimal beings have, such as form. So Lord Shiva, he is very kind and he helps. A Vaishnava means he should be very kind and try to help others to attain the state of being Krishna conscious. Following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advice to the Kurma Brahmana, which he repeated as he traveled throughout South India, Jare Dekho Tare Koha Krishna Upadesh, Amar Agyai Guru Hoya Taro Edesh, whoever you meet, whoever you see, instruct them in the science of Krishna. In this way be a guru and deliver this land. So following this injunction, giving much importance to this order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, he founded his International Society for Krishna Consciousness as a preaching movement meant for expansion, means to expand the jurisdiction of the spiritual world within the material world, to bring the material, to bring to the material world the spiritual world, and expand it everywhere. So there's no material world left, as Srila Prabhupada several times said. This whole world can become Vaikuntha if people just agree to follow the process of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada started his International Society for Krishna Consciousness in a storefront in New York City in 1966. He didn't really have any followers, not any really deeply committed followers. And those that signed the papers of incorporation, it seems to them that it might have seemed something like a joke, founding the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Just like children, they may declare themselves, "I'm the king, you're the minister," and they might have considered just a joke, an old man's fancy. It's with no facilities, no followers, no money, some rented storefront in which they were just scraping to pay the rent in a storefront, a tiny building in a derelict area of New York City, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada had the vision for preaching Krishna Consciousness all over the world. So, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, by his vision, by his dedication, by his pushing his disciples to preach, now this Krishna Consciousness movement is widely spread, and it is a preaching movement. We are interested in expanding the number of Vaishnavas. But the motive for that, we should always remember, it's not simply that we're expanding. The conditioned souls have this tendency to want to expand their field of enjoyment. Someone is in one position, he wants to be in a higher position. A poor man wants to be a rich man. A rich man, among the rich people, they're always, except the richest man, he's always burning with a fire of resentment in his heart that, all right, I have $330 trillion of my known and unknown assets, but someone else has more. And the fact that they have more burns his heart. Jai Govinda, you're nodding like that. You're not 330 trillion, but you're a big man in the small town of Navsari. So is it like that among the Patels doing business? If everywhere. Someone has big house, opulent, but they see someone else has a bigger house, and his heart burns. He has more than enough money. Even if he spent $1 million a minute for the rest of his life, he'd still die in the top 10 rich men in the world. But he's burning with envy, seeing others have more than me. And the one who has more than anyone else, he's full of anxiety that someone else is going to overtake me. My wife will divorce me and take half my money or more. Now, this is the material world where everyone wants to expand and expand more and show I've got more than others. So our preaching should not be on that basis. We cannot actually preach if we do so with a materialistic outlook. If we do so with the idea that now I'm expanding my territory, now I'm expanding my followers, I'm showing myself to be more than others. We can take this pure philosophy and practice of Krishna consciousness and promote it here and there and bring people to Krishna consciousness with almost completely materialistic attitudes. But the problem is that even though people do take to, it is possible to bring people to Krishna consciousness, especially in India. I mean, if you can get people to follow, I shouldn't say the names here because it's a public place, but you can just choose your own bogus guru. They can do anything and say anything and get people to follow them. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, we have some rules, which makes it more difficult. But people will come. But they'll also be infected with the same mentality. They'll also expand more and more, and it all looks very good. But if it's with the mentality that I'm expanding my kingdom, something that, what's this, is Amway? This, what's that called? Pyramid marketing or something like that? Then I have so many under me, and then they have so many, there's someone else on a certain level, they have under them. And expand, just to show how big I am. What should be the actual attitude in preaching Krishna consciousness? Definitely we want to bring people in, but the attitude in doing so, we can learn from Lord Shiva. We can learn so many things in Bhagavatam. There's so many teachings of him. One famous name of Lord Shiva is Nilakanta. Has a blue throat from drinking the halahal poison that was produced in the churning of the milk ocean. That poison threatened to destroy the whole universe, and Lord Shiva was powerful enough to drink it. And he said in this connection, Tapyante lokatapena sadhava prayasho janaha paramaradhanam tadhi purushasya kilatmanaha. He said that it's generally seen among saintly persons, it's their general characteristic, that they accept difficulties for the sake of relieving the difficulties of people in general. This is the best way to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is situated in everyone's heart. One point we can deduce from this is that that poison was so virile that even for Lord Shiva, he was able to swallow it and hold it, and it made his throat turn blue, which is why he's known as the blue-throated one. But it must have been some pain for him also. Otherwise, why does he say this? It must have been some suffering, that burning of the poison. So that the saintly persons, they are prepared to take trouble for the sake of relieving the trouble of others. Actual compassion. Seeing the suffering of others, they take trouble to try to deliver them. Srila Prabhupada often cited the example of Lord Jesus Christ, who was prepared to be, and actually was crucified. They wanted to kill him for his preaching of love of God. Srila Prabhupada also cited the example of Haridas Thakur, who was preaching Krishna consciousness, was beaten in 22 marketplaces. The idea was to kill him. Why do they accept such suffering? To relieve the sufferings of others. And Srila Prabhupada would speak like this. It's there in his books. Again and again, and we'll find such topics described. And in this way, he was able to motivate his disciples to accept so much difficulty going all over the world, going out in their own cities, in the cold weather, distributing books, being insulted, being beaten, being arrested, not all the time, but not uncommonly also, because they thought, they understood from these teachings that to have the opportunity to accept difficulty in the service of Krishna so that others can be elevated, that is a great opportunity. Krishna becomes very pleased. If we're interested in a comfortable life, then we cannot properly preach Krishna consciousness, because either or both, physically there will be discomfort, mentally there will be discomfort, but discomfort or more, up to the stage of even, it may take our life. There was in 1976, I believe it was, there was tremendous pressure on our movement from certain persons in America who were making court cases, accusing the leaders of our devotees of being brainwashing, very heavy pressure to stop our movement or to crush it. Srila Prabhupada wasn't perturbed. He said, don't be perturbed by this. There will come a time when they will shoot on you. They will go to kill you. Srila Prabhupada expected that there would be more action against us. He sometimes said, I'm surprised that the governments of the world, they don't try to stop me. Because if you see his message, if this message becomes popular, then all the brothels and the slaughterhouses, the distilleries and breweries, they'll all have to close down. Then where will be the economic progress? Yesterday, you might, in Veraval, I saw one poster advertising. What was it? Something Gujarat? They used to say Garvi Gujarat. Now they say something else. What's the latest slogan? Vibrant. What's the Gujarati? Anyway, something like that. Vibrant Gujarat. It was written in Gujarati. So they had a picture of Somnath Temple. They had a picture of some industry. And they had a picture of fishermen bringing in the fish. That's part of the Somnath life. So, if people become Krishna conscious, then not only in the West, but here in India also, there may be so much opposition if more and more people become Krishna conscious. But devotees, they have to expect that, and they have to go on pushing Krishna consciousness. And they have to get this, or take this spirit as given by Lord Shiva, who himself, for the sake of saving the universe from the effect of that poison, he personally drank it. He accepts the austerity of being Bhutanath. He has to. Sometimes people criticize, he's living in the cemetery and surrounded by all ghostly kinds of people. That's his mercy on them. They're not ready for a higher level of Vedic culture, but at least they have faith. Of course, it's not that all worshippers of Lord Shiva are like that. But that's one aspect of Lord Shiva. Similar statement, there are many, many statements in Shastra as how a Vaishnava is one who accepts difficulties himself for the benefit of others. And we see, apart from the statements of Shastra, that was practically manifest in the personality of Srila Prabhupada. And he expected his disciples to also do that. He pushed them to surrender to Krishna, to work very hard to preach Krishna consciousness. But his own example was so inspiring that he himself was working harder than any of them. So he inspired his disciples to work hard, to accept all kinds of difficulties. He had heart attacks on the ship coming over. Even to get out of India, he had to... so much difficulty to go, to get the permission to leave, to get the passage. He had heart attacks. You might have thought after the heart attacks on the ship, he would think, okay, I'll just recover in America and get back to India, so I have to go and die in Vrindavan. But Krishna himself appeared and informed him that he appeared as the 10 avatars in a dream and told Srila Prabhupada, we're rowing your boat. They were rowing the boat in which... So he took assurance. So many difficulties. He might have thought, of course we shouldn't speculate about the pure devotees, but practically the first people were coming to him, they were similar in many ways to the ghosts who surround Lord Shiva, in the mode of ignorance, drugged, involved in illicit sex, very low consciousness. But Srila Prabhupada found in them also a spark of interest in Krishna consciousness and fanned that spark. So many statements. Paradukkadukhi, Sanatan Goswami is described as being one who is unhappy in the unhappiness of others. Naivodvijay paradurati avaitaranya stradvirya gayana mahamrita magna chittam shocheta tovi mukacheta sa indriyata maya sukhaya bharamudvaha tovi murha. Prahlad Maharaj expressed his distress, not that he was distressed by being tortured by Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was so frustrated with Prahlad because such terrible tortures and punishments trying to... And Prahlad remained Prahlad, simply happy. Send the elephants to crush him. And Prahlad, Hare Krishna, not in the slightest bit perturbed. He was always happy because he had no fear of material existence. He was always happy in remembering the names, forms, qualities and pastimes of Krishna. But his one unhappiness is that he saw all the foolish people unnecessarily accepting difficulties in this material world to try to be happy within it, which is not possible. Prayena deva munayasvavi mukti kaman maunang charanti vijane naparata nish. Oh, I'm... what's the next line? Naitan vihaya vimukachetasa. Naparata nishta. There are many saintly persons who, for their own spiritual benefit, they leave the world, they go to the hills and the caves, they observe vows of silence, but they're not concerned with the benefit of others. They don't think, for my own sake, I'll go away and I'll do what I like to think, what I think would be good. Even in Krishna consciousness, we may think, well, I have to arrange everything for my own spiritual advancement. Naparata nishta. And then what's the next line? Naitan vihaya kripana vimamoksha eko. They're miserly persons. They're only interested in their own liberation. So Prahlad Maharaj criticizes that. It's not enough to be a Vaishnava for your own sake. That's neophyte level. That Acharyam eva haraye pujang yah shraddhaye hate na tad chanyeshu bhakteshu sabhakta prakrita smita. He's not really on the spiritual level if he's simply interested in worshipping Krishna, but he's not interested in others or even other devotees. Whereas the Madhyamadhikari, Ishvareta Dadhirneshu, Balisheshu, Dushatsucha, Prema Maitri, Kripopeksha, Yakaroti Samadhyamaha. Preaching Krishna consciousness is meant for the Madhyamadhikari Vaishnava, who sees God and loves Him, sees the devotees and befriends them, sees the innocent people and is merciful to them, and the envious, He avoids them. So the mercy. Not that He puts Himself on a very high pedestal. I'm very high, you're very low, now I'm going to give you my mercy. He doesn't think like that. He thinks that by the inconceivable mercy of Krishna received through my spiritual master, I am fortunate enough to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. It is the desire of my guru that these people who now, by the vision that they have, that the gurus have given to me, I'm able to perceive how people are suffering so much without Krishna consciousness. So on the order of the guru, and with a desire to help others to come to also receive the mercy of Krishna, a Vaishnava preaches. There are many such statements. Here's one from Narahari Sharkar in his Krishna Bhajan Amritas. Svadukhanai paradukhani nashayanti mahajana. Paratha, same word. Paratha eva sadhunam vibhuti jivanam sukham. So a great personality, great devotee, is one who accepts difficulties, dukkha, who accepts what may appear to be distress, in order to destroy the distress of others. Seeing others are painful, they're suffering, in various ways. He knows that Krishna consciousness is the only way to fully and properly benefit them. So he accepts the pain that will come by trying to convince these mad people, insane people, you can be happy by Krishna consciousness. If you tell them, they become upset. It becomes very difficult to do so. But a great person accepts that difficulty, and doing so for the benefit of others, acting in such a way for the benefit of others, is the vibhuti, or the decoration, or opulence, the jivanam, the very life of such a great personality. And it is his pleasure. It is his pleasure to accept difficulties for the sake of uplifting others. There's a very beautiful verse. There are so many unlimited beautiful verses. Here is one from Vivek Churamani, which is not recommended reading for Vaishnavas. Mayavadi Bhashya Shunle Hoi Sarvanash. Vivek Churamani is a work by Shankaracharya, or ascribed to him, which describes how one should differentiate between this world and the spirit, and in this way understand that one is God. So it's not recommended reading. But in the spirit of taking nectar from a pot of poison, or taking gold from a dirty place. Shankarites would be very unhappy if they heard this, but it should be said. There's a very beautiful verse therein. Shanta mahanto nivasanti santo vasantava loke hitam charantaha tirna swayang bhima bhavarna vang janan ahetuna anyana pi tarayantaha. The mahanta, they live in this world, great saintly persons. They're peaceful by nature, good by nature. They are fresh and pleasing, just like the spring season. And they live and move in this world simply for the benefit of others. They have themselves personally crossed over the terrible ocean of material existence, Bhavarnava, the ocean of coming into being. Anyway, I didn't mean to discuss the Mayavadi's wrong ideas here. The ocean of birth and death. And without any cause other than to benefit others, they live in this world. They try to uplift others. So of course Shankara, he's actually a great Vaishnava. He is Lord Shiva. So the Vaishnavas, they can properly understand the purport of this. Whereas those who claim to be his followers, who accept his philosophy of Jiva and Ishvara being the same, they can't understand this statement. This statement refers to Vaishnavas. They are very interested. They come to this world, or they live in this world for the sake of uplifting others. This is a very high platform to uplift to others. One should be elevated oneself. How can I uplift others if I myself am fallen? We should always think, I'm very neophyte and fallen. If we think, actually I'm a world acharya and I've come to save you. If we think like that, we can't even be a Vaishnava. Amito Vaishnava e buddhi hoile. Amani na hobo ami. If I think I'm a Vaishnava, then we're a non-Vaishnava. In fact, speaking in English or mixing English with Bengali, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said anyone who thinks that he's a Vaishnava, he's a branded non-Vaishnava. Branded means officially classified as a non-Vaishnava. So one should always understand that we're fully dependent on the mercy of Krishna. We can be his instrument. We ourselves have no power. This morning I was speaking about accepting power from the parampara. We can accept that as long as we humbly beg for it. As soon as we think I'm personally powerful, we lose all power. As long as we realize we're powerless, and with that humble attitude we connect with the source of all power, then we become imbued with power as much as he wants to imbue us with power. If we think I have to show myself to be more powerful than others, we might do. We might out-preach someone else. But that might not be actually fully pleasing to Krishna. So our attitude is one of complete hopelessness, dependence. We can imbibe this very much from the songs of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sharanagati, and many other songs. His Sharanagati songs are very well known, but there are so many others. Just one verse I'll take from there. Just what is our attitude? How do we see ourselves? Bhaktivinoda Thakur calling out to Krishna and simultaneously teaching us how to call out to Krishna. Ebe shunu prabhu, ami gati heen, bhakati binoda koi. Tava kripa bina shakali nirasha, deho more padashroi. Tomara charan bina kichu dham, shangshare na achaya. He said, now listen to me, Krishna, Prabhu, my Lord. Please listen. He's calling his attention. You have to listen to me. He invokes his right to be listened to by the Supreme. Not in pride, but in helplessness, because he has no other shelter, as he will say. I have no amigotihin. I have no, except you. There's nothing. Bhakti Vinoda Koi, he says his own name. It's me I'm calling to. It's a personal prayer. It's not a generic prayer. That philosophically I understand that, yes, okay, so all right, I'll pray. But it's a call in help, a personal call in helplessness to Krishna. Without your mercy, everything is hopeless. Everything, nirasha, yeah, everything is. There's nothing, whatever he was respected magistrate, respected author, respected Vaishnava, respected Babu, gentleman, beloved father of so many children, but he feels without your mercy that everything, there's no meaning to anything. There's nothing. So he prays. Or rather, he demands, Dehomore Padeshri, give me the shelter of your lotus feet. He appears to be very competent himself, magistrate, respected person, but he feels himself completely helpless and demands the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Besides your lotus feet, Tomar Charan Bina Kichuta, there's nothing, absolutely nothing. There's nothing of any value in the whole universe. So this is the attitude of a Vaishnava. Externally, very active, trying to uplift others. Internally, feeling himself completely hopeless and helpless, dependent on the mercy of Krishna. So I'll just have a few minutes. I'll take this opportunity to thank you all again for coming. Thank you for all your activities in devotional service throughout the year. This year, or the last year, has been for book distribution a year of tremendous increase in many places. There are devotees here from London, United Kingdom. There, the tremendous increase in book distribution from Brno in Czech Republic. There also, they had great increase in book distribution. Here in Gujarat, this year, so many more books, more devotees taking up the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. Unprecedented book distribution in Salem, Hyderabad. But of course, there's so much more scope. Sometimes I feel surprised. How is it that we're selling so many Bhagavad Gitas when we've already sold so many? You'd think that everyone would have, but no. There are so many people who don't have them. There's still so many more who don't have them. Just like yesterday, Radhesh Prabhu announced first time in Veraval, Harinam Sankirtan. It's not the first time, but it's the first time in many years that there's been big Harinam Sankirtan. And there used to be traveling parties going all over Gujarat, and definitely they must have come here many times. And they sold so many Bhagavad Gitas. That was a generation ago. Needs recovering. And the recovering. We need to cover it all again. And Gitas, then we also have to distribute small books. We shouldn't think only Gitas. The small books, we can put them in packs of 100 rupee packs, 5 books, 6 books together. So much important instructions and signs of self-realization. Life comes from life. Perfect questions, perfect answers. Very easy for people to access. People who are used to, whose reading is not more developed than Gujarat Samachar at best, then for them to get into the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita might be very difficult. Perfect questions, perfect answers is an ideal way to bring people into these topics which they never think about. But without thinking about, their whole life is completely spoiled. So the small books are also very important. We only give sets of books, and then the people who are taking the sets, others also take this Bhagavad Darshan magazine. Prabhupada gave so much importance to this Back to Godhead magazine. So things are expanding in so many ways. We've seen the Gurukuls expanding, the Varnashram projects are going on, steady, developing. There are so many good signs, but there's so much, much, much more to do. We can't do it all. We're seeing the Gurukul children and hoping, investing so much energy in them that they should take it forward. Some of them are coming forward for initiation now, day after tomorrow. Some of the Gurukul boys are being initiated. But they should also realize now you're not a boy. Now you have to accept full responsibility for your own spiritual development and for pushing on the mission of Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I thank you all for your efforts, all of you, in the year past. Again, there are monkeys and big monkeys with big rocks, and there are squirrels pushing sand. Everyone has to act at their own capacity. There are many, many services in Srila Prabhupada's mission. Personally, I have to thank those disciples who are also helping me in my personal service within Srila Prabhupada's mission. Just over the last few months, several of my disciples have been working very hard to edit and prepare for publication all the recorded lectures of mine that are with them, more than 5,000, and that will be released. When is that? Today? Tomorrow? Tomorrow? Is it? Anyway, today, tomorrow, they'll be made available, which is it helps me in my preaching, because I have certain things to say in Srila Prabhupada's service, which the more widely it's spread, the more widely it's broadcast, the more effect it has. And practically we're seeing that since some years ago, Madhav Prabhu had the idea to put my lectures on the internet, and devotees in various parts of the world, some devotees have been appreciating that. Madhav Prabhu has gone on to make his life service promoting all the audio and video recordings of Srila Prabhupada in various ways to very seriously promote the glories and teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Also, many thanks to devotees who are helping me in my book production. My latest book, that Women, Masters and Mothers, is that the latest one? Did anything come out after that? No. Lekha Mala came out? Didn't come out yet. Tomorrow another one's coming. Okay. That is undoubtedly the most controversial of my books. We find that some devotees, they find that the one word sums it all up, horrible. And others are very much appreciative, to the extent that even there's someone wants to take initiation from me on being inspired by that book. It's really divisive. It brings into focus the cultural divide within our movement. It's very difficult for some to accept it. And for others, they highly appreciate it. So my thanks to those of you who have distributed it in difficult circumstances, under pressure, being harassed for doing so, being told that your guru is bogus and things like that. We can expect there'll be more pressure. In fact, it's already going on. I don't know what shape it will take. Already, that's there. There will be more pressure that on myself personally and on those who try to promote this message, who want to say that, well, it's all bogus, you're simply speculating, and this is all wrong. So, to inoculate yourself from such attacks, you may read the book. Some who read it, and it's very difficult, they don't accept. They find it doesn't fit their understanding of Krishna consciousness. And others read it and think, oh, that's it. That's what I need to hear and understand. It's about social issues connected with Krishna consciousness. Actually, the main subject of the book is not really the role of women at all. That's like a hook to catch the attention. But the main, that is much discussed, but the most important topic, of which the role of women is a subtopic, is the social direction of our movement. Should we generally merge with the broader society, which Srila Prabhupada certified with the eyes of scriptural wisdom, he certified it to be a demoniac society, or should we present the Varnashram alternative, which Srila Prabhupada told us to do? Of course, you could say there's a third path also, the middle path, in which we try and introduce Varnashram to some extent, and on the other hand, we have to work within the present society as well. Well, if we come to that stage, that's already advancement on the present direction of our movement, which is not has been closed to Srila Prabhupada's mandate to establish Varnashram communities. Anyway, it's a controversial message, no doubt. But if the Krishna consciousness movement is to succeed in the way that Srila Prabhupada wanted it to, then there will be massive societal changes. Slaughterhouses will be closed out. Maybe the factories will be closed out. The whole cheating economic system, paper money system, fiat money, that will be stopped. So then undoubtedly there will be much opposition to this, but if we are going to start to bring in this revolutionary change, revolution meant for the benefit of others, so we can live in a sane and stable society, so that in a peaceful situation we can prosecute Krishna consciousness. To bring in that peaceful situation, we may have to go through some turbulence, but we should make a beginning. So if we experience some turbulence even within our society because we advocate such things, that's not surprising. So don't be surprised if you are enthusiastic about the message of that book and others come to you, especially this may happen to the female devotees, others will come to you and try to deprogram you and tell you, no, this is all wrong and you shouldn't follow all this. It seems that the next year will be an interesting one. It's always interesting, Krishna consciousness, but maybe more interesting than others. So be strong. What's that? Keep the faith. What's that? Can you remember? Stay strong, keep the faith. I'm quoting from a Vaishnava Acharya. Hare Krishna. Whoops. All right, so we'll finish there for now to keep the time schedule. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.